Praise the Lord.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Maybe you've heard this verse before. Oh, yeah. Since somebody ate into my time, I'll try to be brief. I didn't say I would be brief. I said I'd try to be. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, when you talk about the heart, I guess we're talking about feelings and emotion and, you know, the stuff that's really down deep and it just really gets to you. That's the heart. It's talking about the inner man, but it's become very, very common that people actually live according to their heart's feelings. And I wanted to consider a couple of things because this is a fantastic verse to give you some insight. And if you would listen to it and let it teach you, it might make a difference in your life. God is trying to tell you something. In fact, the Bible is full of all kinds of insight like this. Just let the Bible speak to you. Let Him talk to you. Let Him walk you through some things. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I'm just going to divide up what my thoughts into three. First of all, the heart religion. That's the religion of this world. So many people have their philosophy based in a heart religion, or at least it's a borderline religion. And the second thing I want to talk about is the heart reality, and that is the fact that it is both deceitful and desperately wicked. And three, the heart remedy, which is there is a remedy for this problem, this heart issue that we have, and we'll talk about that. First of all, I want to deal with the heart religion. Now, I say it's a heart religion because it is such a pervasive philosophy nowadays in our time, and you have experienced it. In fact, you've probably thought it a number of times in your life. You've probably followed it plenty of times in your life. And it happens to be the religion, the natural religion of children. They want to follow their heart. But I don't know if you've recognized how often this philosophy has come up, and people are right now making decisions based on this philosophy, and it's the philosophy of the heart. It's made in all areas of life. It's this philosophy of the heart. It's a heart religion. They're making decisions based on emotion. Making life decisions based on emotion. It's a heart religion. In fact, they preach it all the time. It's on television all the time. It's on all the advertisements. It's on all the advertisements. Joey West was preaching here one time, and he said he saw an advertisement for cigarettes. And of course, over there in Poland, they have to put a whole bunch of disclaimers about cigarettes if you're going to advertise. And here they just don't let them advertise anymore, basically. And, but the disclaimer is, you know, that it can cause cancer and it can cause death and it can cause, you know, coughing and wheezing and bad breath and all kinds of stuff. And they have to put all that stuff on their advertisements for cigarettes. But this cigarette was advertising, and the first half of it's all the bad stuff that's going to happen. And the second half says, "Live for the moment." What an amazing thing. Live for the moment. Live for the moment. That's like a borderline religion. That's the religion of people nowadays. It's the religion of people that can make a philosophy out of pure nonsense and stupidity and very foolish thinking, and yet it becomes a philosophy. It becomes your way of making decisions. Well, that happens with this heart religion. And the heart religion is, well, you've heard it. I bet you've heard it plenty of times. Follow your heart. What that means is follow your emotions. Do what you feel like doing. Make decisions based on how it makes you feel. You ever heard that? Yeah, I bet you have. It's all over the place. This is probably a more popular religion than Christianity.
Yeah.
It's probably more popular than all the other religions combined. The fact that most people have a natural tendency to do that anyway, and then somebody comes up and tries to make it into a mantra telling you that's how you ought to live. Those are the kind of decisions you ought to make. Make decisions based on how you feel. It's the heart religion. It's at least a borderline religion. It's a pervasive philosophy. They say, follow your heart. They say, believe in yourself. Yeah. Believe in yourself? Really? I guess that's sort of a cliche meaning be optimistic. You know, think things are going to happen. Hopeful. Be hopeful. Believe in yourself. Wow. You ever heard the one, never give up on your dreams? Never give up on your dreams. Have you ever heard the one they say, listen to your heart?
Yeah.
When you're trying to make a decision, well, just listen to your heart. Just listen to your heart. Wow. How about, have you ever heard, I've heard this in three different songs. This phrase, paraphrased one way or the other. I've heard it in three different songs. Songs that I cannot sing to you because I don't know these songs, but I've actually had to hear these songs at one time or another, and I heard that phrase, and I immediately had a good reason to remember that that's not a good song. If it feels this right, it can't be wrong.
Yeah.
If it feels this right, it can't be wrong. Now that is just stupidity.
Yeah.
Feeling has nothing to do with right or wrong. Feeling is completely separate. Feeling ought to be a symptom. It ought to be a result. It's something peripheral to the real issue. You ever heard them say, find yourself? You know, I was, bless their hearts. I heard it another way. They said, express yourself. Express yourself. Express yourself. My goodness, what in the world do they mean by that? Express yourself. I was in one of the meetings, I guess it's sort of like I don't remember what kind of meeting it was at one of the schools of my children. And my children hate for me to go to their meetings because I always embarrass them. Like they're not speaking quite loud enough and I'll put my hand on my ear like this and my kids are all hiding down saying, don't do that, Dad. Yeah, well, I can't hear. What am I going to do? I do that and I can hear. I do that in court also. I'm sitting there trying to hear. It helps. I don't know if you tried that. Try that. It helps. Cup your hand behind your ear. You can hear people a lot better. It does work. Well, I was there and this one kid, oh, bless his heart. He had long hair. This is a young man. Had long hair, dressed in the weirdest rags that you ever saw. And he's going to school and the mom was upset because they sort of had some kind of a dress code. He wasn't doing it. And she was just irate. She was upset because she thinks children ought to have the opportunity to express themselves and to find themselves. Express yourself. All of this is the heart religion. It's the heart religion of living by emotion. We find it every single day. We find it preached on television nonstop, 24/7. It's the religion of do what you feel like doing. Live according to your feelings. Make decisions based on your emotions. You see it in shopping. Maybe you already realize this, but you should never go grocery shopping when you're hungry.
Amen.
I've done that, and you come back with an awful lot of stuff that you don't need, that you don't want. Some of it you won't eat, and some of it you shouldn't eat, and you will. It is true that if you go grocery shopping when you're hungry, you buy stuff you would not normally buy. And if you go when you're full, you get done quickly and out of there, and it makes a difference. It's amazing how shopping depends upon emotion. It's an emotional outlet for some people. Shopping. They go spending money. It gives them a little quick high. And it's better than drugs, I agree. But drugs is similar. Drugs is sort of the same thing. You're getting an emotion that's not based on the reality. And when you do that, when you falsify your emotions, you're causing yourself serious problems. You get an emotional high on something that's not real. And that's what you do with, you know, bless your hearts and bless all of you suckers that are sucked into this godless morass that's called Christmas. When you go out and you're just buying this and you're buying that and you've got all kinds of reasons, and what you don't realize is there's an awful lot of emotion based in all this and an awful lot of reasoning behind it that's not rational. And when you finally realize that a lot of the shopping that we do is just to make ourselves feel better, and it's just for a moment, and we know it, and we'll go from one to the next. One of the solutions to this is never use a credit card. Hey, that really does help. If you never use a credit card to shop, you'll save yourself an awful lot of money. Only buy what you've got the money in your pocket to buy. Don't ever buy it, because most people don't realize how shallow and how silly their shopping experience is, and the high that they get from shopping, they don't realize how bad it is until they are socked under their eyeballs in debt, and they're broke. And then all of a sudden they realize, all this stuff I've been buying hasn't really solved my problem. Have you ever been into a rich person's house and looked at their closets? I've done that. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how many shoes somebody can own. I'm amazed. I have about a 5-foot closet, and it's about a third full. I got like 25 shirts, 3 or 4 pair of pants, and I've got four pairs of shoes. All of them look exactly like these. But some people, I mean, I guess they get their emotional high from shopping, and they go out and buy a dress. Or they go out and buy another. That's a heart religion. This is a heart problem. It's a problem where you're living by your emotions. You're making decisions about what you buy according to how you think it's going to make you feel. And it does make you feel good for a moment.
Amen.
It does. You buy yourself a new appliance and you can find yourself sitting in front of it. Watching it work. It happens. It makes you feel good, right? Buy yourself a new car. Yeah, you go out and just sit in it and smell it. Before the kids get in it, right? There's another area that people do this, and that's in romance. Romance. They live according to their heart. It's the new religion. It's the new religion. Follow your heart when it comes to your romance. Listen to your heart. Which one do you love? Love. Love is an emotion, folks. It should be a lot more rational, but love is an emotional reaction to something. And what happens when you make a decision based on your emotion, you make poor decisions. You make some really bad decisions. And a whole lot of women make bad decisions about who they want to marry because they're thinking about the emotional side of it. They might even be thinking about the wedding. I've seen, I don't know, especially in this time, actually it's all year, but it seems like it's worse this time, where all these jewelers are offering, you know, expensive jewels, and they always show the man showing the woman this ring that's got to cost more than his yearly salary. And she looks at it and she goes, yes, yes, yes. And I asked Deb, I said, what do you think about that? And she says, well, I guarantee he would not have spent that kind of money on a ring if he thought she might say no. But then she thought it over and she thought, of course, she might just be saying yes because of the ring. Wow. That's mind-blowing that you would say yes to a man because of the ring he bought you? That's not very smart. That's very foolish. Don't be confused by the glitter of a diamond ring. About the only use it has is to cut glass. But people make life decisions based on these kinds of emotions. Somebody makes them feel good. Somebody makes them feel special. Somebody, I don't know, it's just how they feel. And they feel like they are justified in making the decision because that makes them feel good. Career. We have a judge. She's a new judge. She just got elected. And she's been there a year now, maybe or so. But she's still quite idealistic. And she gets these kids. These are 16-year-old thugs, by the way. They don't really count as kids. they've already been through all kinds of stuff, and they're dealing drugs and they're doing all kinds of stuff. But this judge, bless her heart, I like her, but she always asks them after they're going through all their issue on their court date and whatever. She'll ask them, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" A drug dealer? No. I haven't heard anybody say that, but most of them say, "I don't know." Well, you're 16. Don't you think you ought to be thinking about that? When were you thinking about beginning to think about what you want to be when you grow up? You're 16. But what's even funnier than when they say, "I don't know," is when they say something like, "I want to be an astronaut." An astronaut? You haven't gone to school in the last 2 months. And you want to be an astronaut? You're failing all your classes. You want to be an astronaut? You can't keep a job. You're smoking pot every day. And you want to be an astronaut? Why don't you try getting a driver's license? It's really funny how some people, it is truly amazing to me, how so many children want to have a career in music. Way, way beyond what the music industry can sustain, I can tell you that. There's not enough money. There's a lot of money in music, but there's not enough money in music to give a job in music to all these kids that want a career in music. And that's why they're all trying out for these, I don't know, these tryout kind of music places where you go and you sing, and look, your voice is going to be about like everybody else's voice. And you put a lot of music to it and it's going to sound okay. Well, some people's actually sound okay when you put some nice music and what have you to it. But you're not going to make a living in music. Very few are. There's some boys who, when she asks them, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" they'll say, "A basketball player." You're really not thinking straight. It's part of this heart religion. It's you want to do what makes you feel good. Another way you see this heart religion is when you're trying to decide what gender you are. I saw somebody posted on Facebook, I guess, saw a picture of Bruce Jenner's cat. Bruce Jenner's cat. I'm telling you, it looked to me just like a dog. You'll get it in a minute. It was a dog, but he's pretty sure it's a cat. I'm telling you, this heart religion has gone off the deep end. Yes. When you start thinking that the way you feel is the way is what you really are, and that is more real than the actual reality. That's nonsense. It's a heart religion that has fooled you into making a fool of yourself, and it might actually talk you into mutilating yourself. Yeah. You shouldn't be so stupid as to follow your heart. You need to use your brain. You need to use your mind. You need to use sound reason. You need to think things through. The worst one is that people do this with religion. They choose a religion based on how it makes them feel. And that's not the reason why you should choose a religion. The very first and most important thing about choosing a religion is it true?
Yes.
99% of religions are not true.
That's right.
I agree with atheists on 99% of their arguments. Because what they're telling you is true. This is a bunch of nonsense. Most religion is nonsense. Now, the existence of God is not nonsense. That's just plain intuitive. You can tell that God exists. But when they start criticizing religion, they nearly always get it right. Because religion is chosen by most people because of the way it makes them feel. When was the last time you had somebody leave the church over truth and doctrine? No, they leave over how it makes them feel. They choose another church based on how it makes them feel. It's the wrong criteria. It comes from this heart religion where you have elevated your emotions to something valuable to direct your life. Emotions are like the waves of the sea. They come and they go. They're unstable. They are not worth considering when it comes to life decisions. Now, emotions are not bad, but they should be reactions to good decisions. You make a decision based on truth and reality, and then you have the emotions that come along with that. And don't ever falsify your emotions. Don't ever soothe yourself with drugs. Don't ever self-medicate. Don't try to create an emotion that's not following something real. Drugs have their place to try to help you, some deficiency, some problem. They do have a place. But when you use drugs in order to create emotions that you should not be having because they're not based on anything real, well, then you're destroying yourself. You're losing the ability to have correct judgment and correct emotions. Don't do that. But don't do it also with music. Don't try to make yourself feel better with music. Don't try to make yourself feel better with shopping. Don't try to make yourself feel better with religion. You got to look for truth. And that's why we get to the second part I wanted to talk about, and that's the heart reality. And what God says is, your heart is deceitful. The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They come out of the womb speaking lies. And I've had people say, well, now that's simply not true. Newborns don't speak, so they can't speak lies. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that, and it's true. They do come out of the womb speaking lies. They're not speaking your language exactly, but they are speaking lies. And I don't know if you've considered it, but liars don't lie 100% of the time.
That's right.
Liars tell the truth 90% of the time, maybe even more than that.
Right.
They tell the truth 90% of the time. They only lie when they feel like it's necessary or that it'll help them in some way. And that's what makes them liars. If they're willing to lie even 10% of the time, then they are liars, even if they're telling the truth. You know the difference between lying and deceit. Lying is saying something that you know is untrue. It's not just saying something that's untrue, it's saying something that you know is untrue. Deceit is not saying something that you know is true and relevant. So if you avoid saying something that you know is true and relevant, then you're deceiving. You're not saying. Deceit is passive, but it has to do with what you know. It has to do with something you know and you don't say. That's deceit. So how can you deceive yourself? If you know it, you can't deceive yourself. It doesn't make any sense. How can you say the heart is deceitful? How can you, except we all know it is, right? Don't we all know that our heart is deceitful, that we get deceived by our hearts all the time? Your emotions deceive you all the time. But the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. And that means you ought to stop and consider. How can you deceive yourself? The Bible says people deceive themselves. People actually deceive themselves. I can understand when you feel the temptation to deceive someone you're selling a car to because you know if you tell him everything, you're going to get a lot lower price. Come on, you know that's the way it is. And so you know you have that inside of you, you have that desire to just not tell everything you know. And that's deceit. Because the person buying has a right to know. It's relevant information. You've got to tell them everything. And if you have trouble with your transmission, you need to let them know that. And if you don't, you're deceiving them. That's deceit. How is it that you deceive yourself? Well, usually, let me tell you something. You'll see it's true. Heart deceit is deceiving yourself. It's after the fact. That is, you make a decision based on your emotion, and then you rationalize it. And you come up with reasons for it. These are the reasonings behind your decision. This is what you claim is the reason you made that decision. You rationalize your emotional decision, come up with a reason for doing. It's just like you had to buy that maroon dress because you had nothing to match the fingernail polish you bought yesterday. Hey, believe me, that works. That is an actual rationalization that's probably happened in this room many times. I wouldn't doubt that at all. I had to have something to match these shoes. I did not have. I'm gonna tell on my wife. She's bought shoes because she didn't have any shoes to match a certain dress she had. And of course, that makes a lot of sense to you women, doesn't it? It's just as rational to get rid of the dress. Especially if you're broke. It's a lot more rational to get rid of the dress than to buy shoes if you're broke. Come on. Yeah, you know it's true. Rationalization. It's just like on television, they'll tell you, buy this extremely expensive shampoo or cosmetics. Buy this. We know it's extremely expensive. It's three times the price of the other brand. But you deserve it. Don't you deserve it? Don't you work hard? Don't you do all kinds of things for your family? Isn't it time for you to indulge yourself? Don't you believe you deserve it? Since when does the person running the race give his own prize? You don't get to decide that you deserve it. That's not the way it works. But that's the rationalization. That's how you deceive yourself. You deceive yourself by after the fact, after making emotional decision, or even before the fact, the decision that you want because you want it, you want it, you want it, and you come up with reasons for it that are not the real reason. That's how you deceive yourself. The heart is deceitful. Romance. You know, they say, it's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. That's how somebody justifies their stupid, foolish decision of picking up men in bars. It's a bad way to do things, and yet you can rationalize it and you can deceive yourself and say, I'm just unlucky in love. Yeah, you're not unlucky in love. You're making emotional decisions, and what is happening is exactly what ought to happen. And what somebody could have predicted would happen. In fact, if you had asked somebody, they would have told you what was going to happen. In fact, somebody probably did tell you what was going to happen. And when it comes to gender, they call it courage. That's what they call it. They call it courage. Someone who has the courage to step out of their gender role and be something else. That's nonsense. It's rationalization. It's that heart religion. It's that self-deceit. And if you tell yourself a lie long enough, you'll start believing it. Religion? They tell you, just try harder. Did I ever tell you about the time those Jehovah's Witnesses came to me and told me all that I needed to do in order to be, you know, resurrected or whatever? And I told them, I said, but I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And they said, you need more hope. You need to try harder. No, but I'm a sinner. I know what I am. Do you know what God is telling you? He's saying the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You cannot know your own heart. Did you realize that you cannot know your own motivations? There are a lot of people that are acting right now, making tremendous decisions in their life, even making some murderous decisions, and they don't know what's really motivating them. I've asked atheists what motivates them to be angry at Christians. Why do they hate Christians? Why do they do it? And they can't really give me an answer. They have not really thought it through. Why do I hate gospel preachers? Why do I hate Christians that bug me at work? Why do I hate them? But they do. They hate them and they don't know why. Because the heart is deceitful and you can't know it. You don't know your own motivations. You don't know what's causing you to do what you do. God knows it. God searches the hearts. He tries the reins. He's the one who makes all these judgments on people. He can tell what's in your heart, but you don't even know what's in your own heart. Did you know that a lot of atheists are motivated by intellectual insecurity? I'm not joking. This is reality. Atheists come to the point of believing that there is no God because it makes them feel superior. And any psychologist will tell you that if you want to feel superior, it's because you are insecure. And so when somebody says, no, I'm an atheist, they say it because it makes them feel like they are superior to you dumb theists. and they're making themselves feel superior. They're only displaying their own intellectual insecurity. But they don't know that. They think they're atheists because they're smarter than you. They tell themselves that enough times, they'll believe it. And if they come to a place where they believe it and they get into a place of power, they'll be like Mao Zedong or Stalin or someone else and just kill all the dummies. They do it. One of the worst things that can happen to a nation is it be taken over by atheists. Well, you need to face truth. You need to face reality. Let me tell you something about reality. It can't be negotiated with. Amen. It can't be compromised with. It never compromises. It's not dealing with you. Reality is reality, and you just need to face it. You need to live within it. And you need to stop all the following your heart. You need to stop all the emotional thinking. You need to start thinking rationally and focus on reality. Stop being optimistic. Stop being pessimistic. Start being realistic. Start looking at things the way they are. Reality can't be tweaked. You can't improve it. You can't make it better. You can't make it worse. It is what it is. And that's what you got to think. That's how you have to make your decisions. Look for truth. Look for reality. Look for what's right. Based on objective reasoning. Not based on your heart. Not based on your emotion. So we look for the heart remedy. I'm going to give you some partial remedies. First of all, disregard your emotions when making decisions. Disregard the emotion. I know that it's not a complete, total remedy for this problem because emotions are there and you can't always disregard everything. Sometimes, though, some decisions, you really do need to get this down. Do not make a decision based on your emotion. Don't make a decision based on how it makes you feel. Make your decision based on things that are more objective and more realistic. Make your decision about your career based on something that's attainable. And maybe consider yourself average. Put yourself in the average so that you'll say it's attainable to the average person, then it might be attainable to me. Yeah. Don't consider yourself to be so above average that what is unattainable for somebody else might be attainable for you. Probably not. Amen. You're probably average. Amen. You may be below average.
Amen.
It's a partial remedy, but think rationally. Just think rationally. Think things through. Now, there's another partial remedy, and that is seek counsel. A lot of times you run your ideas by somebody else. That somebody else doesn't have the same emotions you have, and they immediately see a huge flaw in your thinking. And they don't have to be extremely intelligent. They might even be pretty dumb. But they can look at you and say, no, that doesn't sound good. That does not sound good to me. I don't think that's a good rational. And you know, that's very valuable. The Bible says there's safety in counselors. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Somebody can help you think something through that you're seek counsel. But you would be much wiser not to seek just any old counsel. Because sometimes when you seek counsel from somebody who has the same nincompoop ideas that you have, you're probably going to be led wrong. So why don't you seek counsel for somebody that has gray hair? Or no hair? Now it's true, gray hair is not an absolute. Gray hair doesn't always give wisdom. There's an awful lot of gray-headed people that have no wisdom. And there's an awful lot of people who have no gray hair and have some wisdom. So that's the point that he's making here when he says that you need to seek the advice of the hoary head. When he says that, seek counsel from men that know something, especially if it's found in the way of righteousness. What he's telling you is, don't just go it alone. You need some counsel. You need some help. Don't think emotionally. And if you're not sure, ask somebody. Get somebody you think probably knows a few things. Especially find somebody with a good testimony, long-term testimony, and they can say, and you can say they're successful in their life, not financially, but in life. Successful in life. And then ask them, what do you think about this decision? I was thinking about shooting for astronaut. What do you think? And somebody wise would tell you, get your driver's license first. First of all, learn how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
Learn how to swim. Then we'll see if you can fly. Seek counsel. Now here's a third one, and this gets very close to being the final and good solution. And that is, get yourself a good Bible education. I mean, by that, read the Bible. Give it a good listen. Give it a good hearing. Let the Bible instruct you. Let it teach you. Let it show you some things. Because sometimes all somebody has to do is tell the truth and it dawns upon you. They just point out a certain thing and all of a sudden, whoa, that opened my mind. Now I understand. And that's the way the Bible is. Even this verse is trying to do that to you. It says, look, the heart is deceitful. Don't trust it. You can't know it. Don't follow it in your life. Don't live according to it. Don't make life decisions based on your heart. God is telling you this. He's saying, make your decisions based on something besides your emotions. You see, that's the kind of wisdom God gives you when you give yourself a Bible education. When you learn the Bible, read the whole thing. Don't just read it once, read it again, and read it again. I get people calling me up because I've been telling them this. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. So they call me up and say, hey, I'm reading over here in Matthew, whatever. What do you think this means? And I tell them, yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think that's what that means. And there's another good verse over there. And we have these kind of conversations. Why? They're trying to get Bible educated. You know what that'll do? That'll give you some wisdom.
Amen.
That'll give you some understanding. It'll get you past this tremendously dangerous heart religion where you're following your emotions and you're following your heart and your decisions. Give the Bible a good listen. But there's one more thing you need. You need that miraculous transformation. You need that new birth. That's something that happens in the heart where God completely changes your mind and changes the way you think. Where God makes you start thinking the way He thinks. And that's a supernatural thing. It's a miracle of salvation. Where you give your life to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ puts a new thinker in you. A new way of thinking. A new philosophy of life. A new hunger and desire for righteousness. A new way of serving Him. And a desire to serve Him. You get what Jacob had. A spiritual desire. And you lose what Esau had. A material desire. A selfish desire. A temporal, right now desire. And you start finding that you want something better. And you know, that's what made me so much wiser than all my friends in high school. Because something happened to me. Something changed my mind. And I realized, I don't want all this stuff that I used to want. Now I want to be useful to God. In some way, something eternal. I want something more. And it made a difference in my life. It made a difference. It'll make a difference in your life. You need God's Spirit to come into you and change your mind and change your thinking. You need to give yourself to Jesus Christ and say, God, change me. Make me think like you think. Give me that new Spirit. You know, the Bible says He will give it to you if you ask Him for it. You know how to give good gifts to your children, even though you're evil, He says. How much more shall God the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him for it? That's a promise, by the way. Jesus said, God the Father will give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. Ask God to give you His Spirit so that you can get over this heart religion where you're just following, being tossed by the waves of the sea, up and down, and never know why your decisions aren't working out like they're supposed to. Ask God for His Holy Spirit. Let Him save your soul. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your blessing, Your Word that You give us. Thank You for giving us this wisdom. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as Savior, God, I ask You to touch them and give them Your Holy Spirit. Lord, make them see what's important. And change our minds, Lord. Help us not to be deceived by this foolish emotional thinking.
Amen.
Help us all to overcome it. Bless us today, Lord, as we try to serve You. In Jesus' name, amen.